Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to another episode of Voices for Excellence. I am your host, Dr. Michael Connor, CEO and founder of the Agile Evolutionary Group, and as I just stated, the proud host of VFE. And today's guest, the first episode in May, I'll say this, my guest today is, if you remember Wayne's World, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. Yes, I got a we're not worthy. A we're not worthy guest for VFE. Yeah. And it is such a tremendous honor to have Dr. Joe Sanfilippo, who has been not just only a brother as a superintendent, but just on the national circuit. Hearing him all over across the country just recently, heard him at the TASA event in Austin, Texas. But, you know, Joe is known for his 1 minute video, right? I mean, he got everybody saying go crickets, right? I mean, you have stuff that's just synonymous, you know, saying that at home. But in the education space, when you hear go crickets, you know, it's Dr. Joe Sanfilippo. So someone that I just love. Respect to the highest level of education from superintendent, and just to, you know, what he talks about, just motivational as he is. So, you know, without further ado, it is an honor to have Dr. Joe Sanfilippo, the proud superintendent of Fall Creek Public School in Fall Creek, Wisconsin, right? And I can tell you this, Tom Murray, I got him on, so he's going to get you back this episode. Dr. Joe Sanfilippo, everybody. Joe, how you doing, my brother?
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here, and thanks for the intro. It's just been a wonderful ride so far, and you try to help people who struggle, which is how I met Tom Murray. So, I mean, anytime that I can help people that really don't work in schools and don't really know what's going on, I'm here for that. So I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk and just kind of share some of the stuff that we're doing. And I appreciate the opportunity just to kind of, you know, just be with you. So thank you. You're doing a great job. I love being here with you. So what do you got for me?
Man, listen, Joe, I just got to say this, right? And this was a Twitter battle between Tom Murray and Dr. Joe Sanfilippo. So I don't know who it was. And this, it had me crying laughing. I don't know who it was, but somebody posted a dollar next to the book and say, get your, Joe, highlight that for me, because I was dying. And then was it your response where it was a penny or something like that? Joe, please just elaborate before we get into the actual podcast.
Okay. All right. So Tom, I love Tom Murray. He's one of my best friends in the world, but I'll make fun of him every chance I get. And he posted a picture of like there was, my book, like Lead From Where You Are, was on a table and it was like clearance or something like that. And so I posted a picture where there was only one book that I had left, but a full stack of his, which essentially meant nobody was buying that trash. So, I mean, like, honestly, just we had to make sure let's call it what it is. Like, that's just what it is. It's garbage. So I got to make sure that everybody knew that my book was sold out. And he had like 100 copies or something left and nobody really wanted, you know, people did buy it. They didn't buy it. They just took it off the table because the chairs were really wobbly. And so they were able to level out their chairs with the book. It actually was very useful. I saw one dude using it to put his coffee on. Everything was really good. It worked out really well for him. I mean, people were actually reading mine and they're essentially just holding stuff up with his. It's okay. It works, Michael. It works.
Joe, I tell you, I'm crying laughing right now because I can hear both of you going back and forth. I've been in the same space where both of you, and it is just, I mean, you're leaving crying laughing because I tell you, you know, two of the most powerful individuals in education just going at it and just having a good time with it. Tom, I can't wait till this is aired because I gotta hear the response.
He won't listen to it. He won't listen to it. Well, he'll tell you that he's gonna listen to it, and then he won't. I mean, His office is at his parents' house, Mike. Let's be honest about what's going on right now. He's in the basement. He's in between podcasts. He's like polishing the second grade participation trophy from soccer. This is what happened. So let's just be, he's not listening to this thing.
He's not listening to it at all, Joe. I tell you, and to my audience, this is what happens when we're all in person together. This is what's great about it. You just got a glimpse of, you know, yeah. Mike O'Connor, Joe Sanfilippo, Tom Perry, right. Whoever, Marlon Styles, whoever.
Marlon, be, yeah, bring them all on.
Together.
Yeah, and you have to, because you know what, honestly, like I said, I love him to death, and we'll make fun of him, but he's fantastic at what he does, and we're all, and you are as well, and the guys that we connect with, it's just really, you can, like, we talk a lot, the idea is, take the work seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously, absolutely. And I think that's a really big deal in terms of where we start and what we do, because it's one voice, I got one voice at the same time, I can be really loud, but it doesn't change the fact that it's one voice, and if you have more people that bring you, that you can bring along, it changes the conversation for everybody. And that's all we're trying to do. Just give everybody a chance to really do some really great things with kids and create some value in terms of what we do. So hopefully that'll be, if people can laugh a little bit, it gets them in the right mindset to hear different things. And that's what we try to do every time we get a chance to get together.
Yeah, no, Joe, thank you for that. And like I said, you're one of the best in the country and glad to have you on VFB. So let's get in the podcast, man. I tell you, we had Comedy Central, you know, for a little bit, which is great. We could do that all day. But
yeah, we could.
Joe, you are a national figure in this ecosystem, right? And there's no doubt. Everybody knows who you are. Your influence as an author, speaker, facilitator for recognized programs, one program, district administration, that group, they're very dynamic, Dolly. But as the superintendent of Fall Creek Public Schools, right, what song would describe Dr. Joe Sanfilippo as superintendent? I'm going to bring it down to the next level. Elementary school teacher. Yes, when you were elementary school teacher and now site-based leader, right? For Fall Creek, Wisconsin.
Man, so, oh my gosh. Part of me feels like I should have read through questions a little bit better. So I guess the thing that I keep coming back to is, you know, when I do these little walk to work videos and I talk about leadership and what it looks like, I always end the same way. There's 92 of these videos or whatever. There might be more now. I don't remember, but there's more than 90 of these videos, and all of them end with the same piece. And that's, we're all in this thing together. Mm-hmm. And so I think anything like we're all in this together, anything that has any song that has together in it is probably where we're going to be, because I think a lot of us are trying to do this work alone, and you really can't do this work alone. And so if you feel like you're in it together, I think you come to work every day knowing that your purpose is bigger than just what's going on right in front of you, that your impact is wide. You just don't get a chance to see it all the time. So my big thing is, how are we making sure that everybody feels part of it? And that's the reason it's the reason that I always end the same way. We're all in the same together. Like, you know, until we figure that out, we're still going to walk through schools in silos. And that makes it really difficult to find value in the work when you don't know your own value in the work. And so being all in it together means figuring out ways to see the great things that not only that you're doing in your space, but that others are too, and putting them in a situation where they can feel value for that work. And I think a lot of times what ends up happening is, as the school leader, you're seen as, you know, the face of the organization, or people are going to come to you with the biggest problems and everything like that. But the culture of that building building everybody up cannot be dependent on one person. And if people in this building are waiting for me to walk in their room and tell them that they're great at their job, they're going to be waiting longer than they should, than they should have to. But if we're in a situation where the second grade teachers are always building up second grade teachers, and the second grade teachers walk to the third grade rooms and that kind of stuff, now all of a sudden we've get some momentum in places that it doesn't need to be like this huge, you know, post or this video or whatever. It's just walking next door and saying, I trust you. I value you. I love what you do. And if we can all be in that situation, I think we find ourselves walking to school in a much better scenario. So I think we're all in this together. Is that a song? That's probably a song. Is that a High School Musical song?
It's something. Yeah. It's something, yeah. Joe.
Then go with that. Go Wildcats or whatever they are. I don't know. I think that's probably where we go.
Right, right. And Joe, thank you. Because when you say we are all in this together, right, I start thinking about, you know, the why. But now, you know, I'm starting to shift my my vernacular and my presentation registrar in the context of together in our why, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're absolutely correct. You know, we see a lot of our leaders doing this alone. A lot of the siloed collaborate or silos that we have that is in lieu of the true collaboration of how we can work together. And Joe, you have been exemplifying that where, you know, you make yourself available to leaders across the country. It doesn't matter if they're from in the classroom level or even up to the superintendent level. You model that, you know, we have to, or we are all in this together. And I'm afraid that we haven't really defined that in education of what that really looks like, right? We can articulate organizational strategies. We can look at the structural and content features of culture, but I still think we need to define what does we are all in this together. What does that look like, Joe, in the context of us being together, right? Together in our why?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think the thing that I get kind of hits me with the why piece of it is like I can tell everybody in our building to make sure that they remember their why, they remember why they're here and that kind of thing. But that doesn't help them when a kid's pulling on their pant leg and they just spilled a bunch of paint everywhere and they're trying to figure out like what's next. Like, I mean, we're not getting into some deep philosophical conversation about why we're here at that point. Then we're in survival mode. So I think when it comes down, I think I love the way that you described it, like together in our why, because it puts us in a situation where you can quantify what that looks like, as opposed to having it as some umbrella, this philosophical umbrella, where I think a lot of people get lost because, yeah, I know why I got into it, but if I don't get a chance to see that on a daily basis, then I start to wonder why I do it. And that's a big deal, right? Because that doesn't bring you back in terms of what that looks like. So what we talked about here, most importantly, creating a culture where trust is at the core and we know what we're doing, it actually started with creating a culture of storytellers. And that was a big deal because when you know that your story has value, you're willing to talk about your story. If you don't think your story has value, then you're going to shut your door and go and just do your thing and not tell anybody about it because you're afraid of what the response is going to be. Not that the response from a colleague, you know, if you go next door and you tell them, think about this. How many times do people go next door to a colleague and complain about something or talk about something logistical or a scheduling conflict versus how often do they go next door and say, I just taught this really great lesson? They don't. And the reason that they don't do it is they're afraid of the response. Not that the response is going to be, well, you know, that's really not that big a deal. We all do that. That's not the response. The response is, where did you find the time to do that?
Yeah.
Or the response is, don't tell anybody about that. Because if you do that, then I'm going to have to do that. And I don't want to do that. So don't do that. Right. And then they don't tell anybody because they're afraid of what the response is. But when you know that your story has value, you're willing to say something about it because you know that the person that you're talking to, they know their story has value too. And so all of a sudden we put ourselves in a situation where we have to kind of move things. And what we've done here, what has made the biggest impact here in terms of being together without hesitation, and it's not close, it costs us $0. And what has made the biggest impact without hesitation in this building is what do we do to recognize the greatness of colleagues, acknowledge the greatness of colleagues, and extend the greatness of colleagues, right? And of colleagues is really important because it's really hard to take care of kids when we're not taking care of the adults taking care of the kids. So if you recognize, acknowledge, and extend the work of your colleagues, it changes the conversation. So in my building, it looks like this. If I'm walking down a second grade hallway and I see a second grade teacher doing great things, I walk into that second grade teacher's room to tell that second grade teacher that she's doing great things. And so I've recognized it, and I've acknowledged it, right? And a lot of people in schools do that. They do that, but they don't do the third thing.
Absolutely.
Because when you extend the conversation to the eighth grade science teacher who has no business of being in the second grade hallway, and you tell the eighth grade science teacher about the great things happening in second grade, What inevitably happens is the eighth grade science teacher walks to the second grade classroom to tell the second grade teacher that she's doing great things. And the reason that he does it is because at some point somebody did it for him and it felt good. And all we want to do is live and work in a place that feels good. I'm not even, Michael, I'm not talking about great. I'm not even talking about great. I'm talking about good. Yeah. Get to good because it gives you a shot at great. It's hard to have a great day when you spill coffee on your way to work. It's better to have a great, it's easier to have a great day when you start it knowing that your story has value in the space that you live.
That's deep, right, Joe? And knowing your story has value in it, right? And you know, a lot of people, when we look at education, right, the polarization, the politics that are going on in education as well, we're, you know, it's hard to start seeing that value. But the way you contextualized it, recognize, acknowledge, and extend greatness, but just getting to that level of good, right, Joe? And Joe, what, this is why you were, you know, in 2019 named the Education Drive National Superintendent of the Year, because you create that type of culture within the teaching and learning dimensions in all your schools and all of central office, right? Then that has expanded to your 1 minute motivational videos. And now, we are all in this together. But what I love particularly is my man ends, go Crickets, just like that. Just wow. I mean, literally, Joe, your voice just changed and then you go Crickets. Hey, Tom, Barry White voice. But anyway, I want you to expand on the 1 minute videos on VFE here, right? And you talk about leadership, right, within those videos. But now I want you to expand here. Why is leadership so important in the AC stage of education? And through your lens, Joe, how do we reach all in this new education space in 1 minute?
1 minute. I got you. Got it? All right, here we go. So I think the 1 minute walk have been really fun because they're just really little quick hitters on something I'm thinking about. And the best part about them for me is I don't like schedule them. I do them when I feel like I have something to say. And if I don't have anything to say, I don't do them. And I think that's kind of, they're just pretty, I just hope that they're authentic. Anyway, I think the idea that we try to keep in mind along the way is that everybody leads in some context. Yeah. And those walks are honestly, they're more reminders for me than they are for anybody else. They are either things that I have screwed up that I need to get better on, that are things that our building is doing really, really well that I want to make sure everybody knows about, or they're things that I think about where we get some sort of, you know, national rhetoric about education and what happens. Like I remember something popped up on my feed yesterday. It was one that I did a couple of years ago during the pandemic, and Time Magazine had put out this cover about how it was a lost year in education. And I couldn't have disagreed with them more. Right. Like, I think the idea, the only way that year was a lost year is if nothing changed after that year, and which is not the case. It changed everywhere across the country. And it gave us, we can get into that. That's pretty deep. But at the same time, you know, we wanted to be real clear about how we could get this stuff. So how do we reach everybody? We just meet them where they're at. And a lot of times we don't do that. Like I'm not trying to create clones of God, please not making clones of me around here. That's one of me is enough. I want to make sure that we put people in a situation where they can be their best selves. Yeah. And that doesn't mean making more me. That means making them the best of them. And, and everything that I can do to help out and give them a voice that they may not have had before. I mean, the way that I think about it is this. This place was special before I came. It's going to be special when I leave. And people, if more people know about Fall Creek because we do those videos, then I'm so happy about that. But just because they know about it doesn't make it special. Like everybody knows about spam. Spam's not special. Okay. So let's be honest about this. It's the special. This what's here is special. And I could get a chance to talk about it. So we got to be real clear about the great things that are happening here.
Absolutely. And Joe, you not only has the work of Fall Creek been put on the national scene, but it essentially how you've taken leadership, right? And how you carried Your leadership lens and your leadership signature in the Fall Creek. And it's just kind of like this perfect synergy, 12 years, right? 12 years as a superintendent. Congratulations. And I don't know if my audience knows, but Dr. Joe Sanfilippo will end his tenure at Fall Creek at the end of the year, this academic year. And it has been such a successful and illustrious career as a superintendent. So, you know, I know you were across the nation now, you know, speaking with educators and leaders, but I want you to identify, what is your message about staying positive in the AC stage of education? And how can I, and you alluded to it in pretty much every question or answer within every question, but how can my audience lean on their affirmations that they are making a difference for all? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the first thing that they need to do is figure out what brings them joy, you know, and I think, and obviously, and do more of that. I mean, I know that sounds simplistic, but so we talk to our staff a lot about starting your day and ending your day with joy. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about the joy. It's about starting and ending your day too. Otherwise we cycle. And then we go home to the people that we love the most, that care about us the most, that give us the most latitude. And then they get the least of us because they love us the most and give us the most latitude. And that's not the way that it should be. So we talk about starting and ending your day, but we also talk about the joy, finding the joy in that. And so what I often tell people when I get them together is like, think about what you do to start your day and how many of the things that you do to start your day bring you joy. Are they just things that need to get done? And that ends up being a really big deal for people because they write down all the stuff they do to start their day and none of it brings them joy. It just is a bunch of checkmark stuff that they do because they got into this routine of this is what it looks like. And then they're not in the right mindset to see great things that are happening all around them. So I think when you can find purpose and joy in the work, then it brings you back the next day knowing and understanding that you're going to be able to find that the next day too. And so we do an activity here. We call it My Three. And we ask our staff members to write down what three things would have to happen throughout the course of the day to make the day successful for them. And I have them keep that right next to their workstation, right? Mm-hmm. And so they can look at that throughout the course of the day and see that these are the things that make me happy. These are the things that drive what I do. And either I've done those and I should feel better about the day, or I haven't done any of them. And if I do them, I'm going to feel better about the day. But it also gives us administratively an opportunity to know what they value too. So when I go into their room and I see that on their wall, I get a chance to leave some positive feedback on something that they enjoy too. So we're trying to find purpose in everybody's work. At the same time, if they're not going to tell us what the purpose of their work is, how am I supposed to help them in that process? And I want to be as helpful as I can, but me saying to them overall, like, you know, hey, you're doing great stuff. You're doing well. Like what? Like great what? Tell me something specific. And I think that the more that we can get into specifically what they do, and it's not just about leaders in offices, man. It's about leaders in classrooms. You can do the same thing with your kids. You can do the same thing with your colleagues. And I find you get a lot more run from the people that you teach next to every day than you do from the superintendent in the school district. I mean, I can hopefully set up the environment, but I can't be the one to drive that. I mean, it's got to come from within, because then you know it has value because it's authentic and it's real and it's next door. And I think that's been a big deal with us.
No, you've been, Joe, marvelous with that. And to my audience, Dr. Sanfilippo, he just contextualized culture, right? At its best, vertical culture, horizontal culture, how it's being impacted. When I talk about horizontal, I'm talking about practitioner, or student to student, right? That's where we need that type of cultural, I like to say cultural dimensions that have that impact, where at every single tier, you're going to start seeing all of that resonating. And you built that, Joe. And again, that's a model. And I hope that, and I know that you will, but I hope that my audience or individuals out there that really want to focus on creating a culture and climate that is conducive for all in the AC stage of education, I encourage you to reach out to Dr. Joe Sanfilippo. He'll provide you with some great strategies, techniques. And I mean, just a small, I mean, the My Three, if you think about that, right? And if we're just talking about being strategic to impact culture, to leverage or to accelerate your strategy, just by doing the My Three, that will just impact all your whole culture, whether it be primary culture, secondary culture, and I'm even talking about the latent and implicit culture that exists within our teaching and learning organizations. So thank you for that. But now I'm moving off to another topic, Joe.
Okay.
All right. And this is where I said, so full transparency, everybody, before the podcast, Joe and I, we were on, and I said, I want to be like you when I grow up. Okay. Yep. And this is why I said, I want to be like Dr. Joe Sanfilippo. I'm just happy to have my one book out, right? This is my one, Joe. This is freshman JV talking, right? This is the JV, right? Wanting to play varsity.
Yeah, right.
Coach, I want to get minutes in varsity.
Give me minutes. I love it.
Not ready yet. You got to work on JV. So my one book. All right, I'm elated, happy. It's out there, you know. It's moving. People are referencing it. But Dr. Joe Sanfilippo has authored numerous of books, and I know of Joe. And I'm sorry if I minimize it, but I know of three national bestsellers. Right, that's like Kobe going like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right, that's like me talking junk to Joe, and Joe going like this to me: 1, 2, 3 national bestsellers. Congratulations on that, bro. But there is great diversity in the content of each of those books, right? Multiple elements of the education model where you're interrogating, providing research, providing strategies, and it's all undergirded around leadership, right? Mm-hmm. Now, first, can you provide my audience with a quick snapshot? And I love this. I love your last, I love all your books, but this last one, right? Lead From Where You Are, mm-hmm. Building Attention, Connection, and Directions in Our Schools, and how it can be at that school, right? How can it be underscored as a guide for leaders and their teams? Because Joe, I read that, no lie, and I'm a reader. I read that in 2 days. I mean, that's how good it was, Joe. Appreciate that. But just giving my audience just some context of what that book is about.
So honestly, I'm not a writer by trade. I'm really not. And I think what ended up happening was sometimes you get projects that unstick you. And I think this was the one that got me unstuck. I mean, I had done doing the walk to work videos for years and thinking about what the book was going to look like. And honestly, I loved doing the walk to work videos. And I figured if I love those, then if I can get those into content in terms of how people can dive deeper into them, in terms of how we would work, you know, the why, the what, and the how of what happens in schools, maybe we can help a couple people get just think about things a little bit differently while also valuing what they've already done to that point. So leading from where you are is essentially knowing and understanding that you have an impact regardless of the position that you hold. And it's not about the position. It's about how you lead in that position. If it's at the central office level, if it's at the building level, mm-hmm. if it's in the classroom, if it's on the playground, if it's on a court, whatever it is, everybody leads in some capacity. So how can we take things that, you know, that create value for not only the people that you serve, but know that the work that you do has a tremendous impact? And how can we build momentum along that? So that's kind of where the why came in terms of what we do. The what is really the logistical, the what it looks like in schools, and the how are actually examples on how we do it. So it doesn't feel like it's foreign. What I would tell people that read the book is that we try to put as much stuff as we could in there. But remember, it's over the course of 12 years that I've been in this building. So trying to do all of it at one time is I would say I'd push back on that. What I tell people is this, you know, what it's like the shiny new toy, right? You get the shiny new toy and everybody looks at the shiny new toy, and then you focus on the shiny new toy and all the stuff that you've been doing that's been working gets pushed off to the side for the shiny new toy. And then 6 months later, you're like, man, we used to do this one thing. We should bring that back. And it takes longer to bring back when it never should have left to begin with.
Absolutely.
So we talk a lot about in each one of those areas, in the why, the what, and the how. Think about what's actually happening in your space that's working. What are two things that are working right now? And what's the plan to continue those to work? And then what's one new thing that you want to try in that area of intention, connection, direction, which is essentially the three big areas of the book. How are we being intentional about who we lead and how we lead? What's the connection that we make to who we lead and how we lead? And what direction are we providing for who we lead and how we lead? And I think that's been really helpful to people, to just to kind of put it into a graphic that helps them along the way. But please understand, the work that you're already doing right now is substantial and it's impactful. And don't throw stuff away just because a shiny new toy shows up on your desk. Think about what's actually working in intention, connection, and direction, and then add to those pieces. So when I work with groups, if I'm coaching or if I'm speaking or doing a workshop, they walk out with six things that they're already doing that are really great in intention, connection, and direction, and three things that they want to try over the course of multiple years. So hopefully that helps them build momentum. So it's not, and then it's good for staff too, because you're not always changing. Same thing with kids. If you're always changing, they don't get a chance to be content in that area.
Yeah. And Joe, to my audience, I always like to reference Joe, best practices with learning. And you heard me say this before: andragogy, pedagogy, heterogogy, they're all the same, right? Pedagogy and andragogy, student learning, adult learning. We have to address, specific modalities in alignment to taxonomies. It doesn't matter. It's just, you're either doing that for a 7-year-old or you're doing that for a 57-year-old, right? And no pun intended with the age. But when I talk about andragogy specifically, please, my audience, right? Joe just gave a really in-depth answer with regards to his book. So if you have his book, to be able to complement that with his answer that he just provided you with regards to intention, connection, and direction, and those specific scaffolds that are embedded within his book, please use this as another asynchronous tool to be able to support the content that's in front of you, because pretty much Joe really outlined, right, his book, but also more importantly, how you can have that alignment, right, with intention, connection, and direction. Very specific of what he says. What are two things that work, and what is one thing that requires intention? That's just three things, everybody, right? And Joe, the way you put it is just so simplistic within the message that we don't need a variety of different new things. We might have it right in front of us if we comprehensively understand how it impacts kids. So Joe, if you can elaborate on that, because that is, a great answer, because again, that whole intention, connection, and direction going down to that requiring attention, right? That phrase sticks out. It resonates with me because, my book, Intentional, Bold, and Unapologetic, the first thing I say is there's intentionality with the systems or model transformation in the AC stage of education. Can you just elaborate on requires attention? I know there might not be alignment, but again,
absolutely. That whole attention piece. Yeah, absolutely. And I think what ends up happening if we're not intentional about the work, we just keep going and going and going and doing and doing and doing. Yeah. And when you never take a step back to realize the impact of go, 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 do, 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 you just get to the next thing. And then we miss a ton of the stuff that happens all around us because we're always trying to get to the, I mean, there's a lot of list people. I don't know if you're a list person, but I'm a list person. Mm-hmm. And I write stuff down on a list and I check it off mm-hmm. as I go along. But mm-hmm. there's not a ton of things that are on that list that I actually like to do. There are just things that need to get done. Now I feel good when I get my list done, but then I walk out and by the time I walk in, there's 10 more things on my list. So if I'm bound by the list, I don't get a chance to see the things that I'm impacting with the list because I'm always trying to get to the next thing on the list. And if we're intentional about how we lean into the conversations and the connections that we have that are a byproduct of that list, now all of a sudden we're more intentional about what we do on a daily basis, as opposed to just getting to the next thing on the list. The list has to get done. But if you don't figure out why the list is what the list is, then you just keep doing the list and not intentional about it. And the human connection to the things that are on that list bring you back to why you have to do it to begin with. So knowing the impact. And I think the other thing is that we're leading a group of people in buildings that don't get the immediate gratification for their work. I mean, you think about this. Think about how many times a kid comes back 15 years after you had them in school, right? And they come back and they come and they see you at a grocery store or a restaurant or at a game or something. And they're like, I really liked having you as a teacher. You were a really good teacher. And what you want to say is, man, you could have said something. Like you could have said, like you were here every day. Like you weren't absent ever. You could have said something, but they don't. And so if you don't get that immediate gratification, you start to wonder. And if you walk without intention, it makes it easier to not realize the impact. So absolutely, I think we got to be really intentional about how we do it. And it's not even, honestly, I don't walk with intention for the people that I serve as much as I do for me, because okay, otherwise I lose my own way and I start to wonder why I'm doing what I'm doing. So you walk with intention so you see the joy. I share a lot of videos and stuff that I see that I get sent to me from people in my building of great things that are happening in the building. I wouldn't have seen any of those things because I wasn't there. But if I'm connected to people that they're willing to share, now all of a sudden I can be intentional about the next connection and the momentum based off that event that I may have not even have been there for.
Absolutely. Joe, walk with intention. I'll tell you this. Your brilliance is truly appreciated on VFB. Wow, please, audience, that's direct instruction, point six on Hattie's effect size, asynchronous in this context. I don't even want to follow that up because that level of brilliance is amazing. So, next question, brother. I consider you a czar with regards to how you elevate your voice and message on social media. And now we're starting to see a lot of people emulate that strategy of being able to elevate their message, elevate their platform on social media, specifically around the AC stage of education to develop this coalition, right? So if I'm an aspiring leader or even a veteran leader, where I know that times has changed, where we have to be able to use I like to say multi-sided platforms, i.e. social media, to be able to leverage a message around equity and change. What strategies or advice would you give these individual stakeholder groups or even leaders to elevate their voice for change on social media? And if I'm just listening to you and say, wow, the 1 minute videos, we got the taglines and everything, we know it's for change. You know, everybody knows mine is hashtag change the world with my leadership tip every morning. But how can I use social media as a leader to brand, grow, and accelerate this vision around change in the AC stage of education?
So that's a great question, because I think that's where we get the most, most of our leverage in school, to be really honest. I think that when people started hearing about some of the stuff that we were doing, all of a sudden our teachers became like the go-to for professional development, the way that we do it, telling your story in the way that we do it, or leverage. I mean, I do want to say that I think the whole concept of telling your school story has really gotten watered down. And I wrote a book on it 10 years ago, and the name of the book is called The Power of Branding, Telling Your School Story. And it's just gotten watered down. And it was probably watered down at that point too, because it was so new then. And the reason I say watered down is me telling the story to a group, to just like, if I go out on the football field and start talking about how great second grade teachers are, and nobody's there, I can tell my story, but there's no leverage because there's no audience.
Right.
It's really about leveraging the voices of the people in your space. And that's how we tell the story the way that we want to tell the story, because we're very intentional about when we tell the story and how that we tell the story and with what graphics we tell the story and all of the things that go along with it to elicit emotion, to elicit, a connection, because those are the stories that get told. And so we talk a lot about breaking scripts and what that really looks like in terms of how we make, create a moment that people want to talk about. And so that's from the school side. So we want to be very clear and cognizant and consistent, but at the same time, we also want to connect to the emotion of the listener, because when you connect to the emotion of the listener, there's a better chance for the story to be told beyond the time that the event takes place. Mm-hmm. So we talk about that. We talk about how the story wins every single time. The story always wins. So how do we make sure that the story is part of the conversation, and how can we leverage that? That's the school side. So when we talk about the leadership side of it, I think the thing that people get really disheartened early, because they don't get the immediate feedback for what they put out there. And they think, oh man, that was a great thought. How come it didn't get seen by a bunch of people? Well, I think you got to just kind of put your head down and grind. And, at some point, people will see it. When I started doing those walk to work videos, nobody was watching them. And it was actually probably good because they were awful. So, I mean, you kind of get yourself into a groove after a while. And you know that when more people see it, you kind of put a little bit more into it. But when I started doing them, I was just doing them. And I think that they've just turned into a little bit, you know, a little bit more just because people started to kind of grab onto them. And I wanted to, I guess when you start, I think the advice that I would give to people is just start and be consistent and don't worry about the big change that it's going to make. Mm-hmm. But if it's authentic and it's real to you, you've already changed yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you've already changed yourself, the first part is done. So worry about the change that you're making to what you can control before you start worrying about the change that you're making to things that you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe, I mean, just start and be consistent. You know, I know, you know, some people I talk to, you know, especially, you know, with regards to my leadership tip and, you know, the focus around change and equity. You know, people are like, oh yeah, you have a big following. I was like, but the intent is not to have a big following.
Right.
The intent is to try to leverage a message so that it can expand, so that we have this change movement and coalition going on. And just start, focus.
Yeah, just start.
Consistent. The immediate feedback. Don't worry. It's a new way of demonstrating your voice, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't matter of, you know, how many people are liking it or, you know, how many views. No, you want it to impact. And Joe, you made it so simplistic for people, right? And how we can change that mindset from immediate feedback to just being consistent, right? If we even did that in the real world context, I think we would be in a much better place. But Joe, I hate to say this, man. Last question. I don't want this to end. And I didn't even say this to Tom Murray. Tom, don't get mad, brother. Don't get
mad. He's not listening. I told you, Mike, he's not listening. He's shining trophies. And mom didn't cut off the corners of his peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So he's mad. I understand how this thing works. We're good. You go ahead and ask the question. He's not listening.
Tom, I love both of you. I can't wait, man. I cannot wait. Last question, brother. What three words or next steps do you want today's audience to leave this podcast with regarding leadership for equity and excellence, right? And I heard you at TASA, and that message at TASA in Austin was amazing, right? And this is why I led this into this, because the way you created that triangulation was just absolutely amazing between leadership, equity, and excellence. That's what I got when I left your keynote. But how can my audience apply these three words that you're going to provide to us regarding leadership for equity and excellence within their own leadership signature?
Yeah. Well, I hate to be repetitive, man, but honestly, I stay in my lane. I stay in my lane. I know what I do well. I know what I don't do well. And when it comes down to it, every group that I've worked with, from my school here to the, you know, hundreds of schools that we've worked with across the country, the one thing that has made the biggest impact with all of them are the three words: recognize, acknowledge, and extend. And each one of them, though simplistic, each one of them you dive deep into, and if you do them all with intentionality, they change the conversation for the people that you serve. If you recognize the greatness of the people that you serve, acknowledge the greatness of the people that you serve to them to make sure that they know it, and then extend it to somebody who didn't see it, it changes the culture regardless of where your culture is, because it provides an opportunity where we're not walking through hallways in silos. If we can just get to the place where you recognize the great things that your colleagues are doing, they're going to feel more value. You feel better when you tell them, they feel better when they hear it. And when you can extend it to somebody who wasn't there, now we bring in a new audience that doesn't get to see us on a regular basis. There are no stands in classrooms, right? We're not talking about selling tickets to get into classrooms, right? The general public is not seeing the incredible things that happen in these classrooms on a regular basis. So it starts with us. How do you put yourself in the right mindset to recognize that around you, acknowledge it to the people that are doing it, and then find somebody who didn't see it and make sure that they know it. Recognize it, acknowledge it, and extend it.
Absolutely. Joe, thank you for that. And those three words, recognize, acknowledge, and extend. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a myriad of research, theory, empirical studies on culture. But I can tell you to my audience right now, we don't need all that. You can just dial in on Joe Sanfilippo and just use recognize, acknowledge, and extend. That will change the culture, change it in an accelerated manner where it will start manifesting in areas that you wouldn't even know in the in the teaching and learning organization. Wow, Joe. I'm going to be honest with you, Dr. Sanfilippo. It has just been an absolute honor to have you on today's episode. I got to laugh, I got to cry, and I got to learn. That's a good day, right?
That's a good day, man.
That's a good day. I didn't take it from Coach V, but I got you. I laughed today, I cried today, and I certainly learned. Joe, if my audience wanted to get in touch with you, write, email you, have a question, start following you, order one of your myriad of books, how would they be able to do that?
I think the best chance is go to jsanfilippo.com, jsanfilippo.com, and all my stuff is there. You want to, and honestly, my phone number's there too. If you need something, you call me, text me, and you're going to get an answer. I don't say you're all in this thing together just because it's convenient to say. If you need something, call me, text me, email me, whatever. We'll try to do the best that we can to help you out, because a lot of us are trying to do this work alone, man, and we can't do it. So let's figure out a way to do it together. It has been an absolute honor, Michael, to be part of your show. And thank you for all you do. And if there's ever anything that I can do to help out, please don't hesitate to ask.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm going to call you. I'm going to get my signed copy. So I got to defend my brother once, right? I got a signed copy mailed to my house. No problem. Joe, you got to follow up on that as well. But together in our why, I will definitely give you a call.
Again, he had extra copies, man. He had a lot of copies. What else was he going to do? I mean, he had probably a box of them holding up a wall. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I got you. Good. I'll send one to you. I got you for sure, man. I got you for sure. I'll send you two.
Brother, I love you to death. Thank you. It's been an absolute honor. I'm going to give you a call, you know, later on. Please this. Do. We just got to catch up, brother. On that note, onward and upward, everybody. Have a great evening.